Tonight, courthouse horror. An inmate suddenly grabs a bailiff's gun, opening fire. Tonight, two bailiffs dead. A new wave of shock and sorrow. How did this happen? New details about the cold-blooded sniper in Dallas, what his parents are revealing as the police chief makes a national plea. Who will it be? Speculation reaches a fever pitch as Donald Trump nears an announcement on a running mate. What we're learning about the narrowing list. Wildfires explode, killing firefighters as thousands are evacuated, homes destroyed, and there are fears for hundreds more. A massive attack from the ground and the air. And a game craze that has people on the move all across the country. For some, it's addictive, but is it leading them into danger? Nightly News begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. Practically on the heels of the tragedy in Texas, the deadliest day for law enforcement in almost 15 years, two more lawmen were shot to death this afternoon, this time inside a Michigan courthouse. The victims were bailiffs of the Berrien County Court in St. Joseph. In addition, a sheriff's deputy was wounded before the gunman himself was killed. It happened as the country closely reflects on the ambush in Dallas and the dangers faced by all those who carry a badge. NBC's Ron Mott has the breaking details.
As officers secure the scene outside the Berrien County Courthouse,
we have him cornered on the second floor. He has a gun with a hostage.
The search was underway inside for the suspected gunman.
Charge fire, one down, one down.
It was shortly before 2:30 this afternoon on the third floor of the building, a shooting outside of a courtroom, three dead, including the shooter.
A person has shot two bailiffs. They're both deceased.
NBC News has learned from law enforcement sources that the suspect was in court for a hearing, grabbed a bailiff's gun, and started shooting.
It just starts to run, run, run.
A deputy sheriff and several others were reportedly also injured and in stable condition at a local hospital.
There's apparently an active shooter inside.
Greta Volkenstein was outside the courthouse.
Everybody's on lockdown all around.
Governor Rick Snyder tweeting out a message asking for prayers.
A very sad day up in St. Joe, Michigan.
I lost some friends today, so I'm here with a heavy heart.
This latest incident brings the number of law enforcement officers fatally shot by suspects while in the line of duty to 27, up from 16 a year ago. As yet another community has to come to grips with a senseless act of violence. Some late details tonight. In a news conference, authorities say that the inmate, the gunman, was being transferred from a cell inside the courthouse and was on his way to the courtroom when he wrestled a gun away from a sheriff's deputy and opened fire. Tonight, as you heard, Governor Snyder asking Michiganders to pray for the victims. Lester.
And Ron, as we say, this happens as Dallas is on all our minds. And there are new details from that deadly ambush there that left five police officers dead. We're learning much more about the sniper who turned downtown Dallas into a war zone on Thursday night. And for the first time, his parents are speaking out. We get the latest on the investigation from NBC's Gabe Gutierrez.
The cop killer in Dallas was no novice, the police chief said today. Micah Johnson knew what he was doing.
This person obviously has some delusion. This person also was very committed to killing officers.
Now investigators are combing through 170 hours of body cam footage, 300 witness interviews, and Johnson's personal arsenal to piece together what drove the 25-year-old to massacre five officers and wound nine others. He was killed by a bomb delivered by a robot like this one.
This wasn't an ethical dilemma for me. I'd do it again.
Still a mystery why Johnson scrawled the letters RB in his own blood on the walls before he died.
How is it possible that no one in his family may have known that he was stockpiling weapons and ammunition and ballistic vests in his home?
You sound like a cop. That's my question.
Investigators have questioned Johnson's mother. In her first interview with The Blaze, Delphine Johnson said she watched her son transform from a fun-loving extrovert into a hermit after his military service.
He was very disappointed, very disappointed.
Johnson was sent home from Afghanistan in 2014 after he was accused of sexual harassment by a female soldier. His father is grief-stricken as he tries to understand what drove his son to violence.
I didn't see it coming.
He was a good son.
He was a good son.
I love my son with all my heart. I hate what he did.
On social media, Johnson showed an interest in the Black Power movement, but authorities so far have not confirmed formal ties to any organization. Tonight, Dallas is still on edge.
To be quite honest, I'm running on fumes.
A candid Chief Brown calling for changes to the demands on the nation's overwhelmed police officers.
We're asking cops to do too much in this country.
And for ER Dr. Brian Williams at Parkland Memorial Hospital, where seven officers were rushed, the loss hits home.
And I think about it every day, that I was unable to save those cops when they came here that night. It weighs on my mind constantly. This killing, it has to stop.
Initially, almost 60 students were inside one of the campus buildings at El Centro College, where the gunman ended up in an hours-long standoff with police. Incredibly, they all survived. Tomorrow, President Obama is scheduled to travel here, and on Wednesday and Thursday, there will be funerals for several of the fallen officers.
Lester. All right, Gabe, thank you. And that horrific ambush in Dallas came, of course, during a protest after the killings of two African-American men by police. Tonight, protests are erupting all over again across the country after a weekend that saw hundreds of demonstrators arrested. NBC's Blake McCoy has more on the tensions in our streets.
Protests across America spreading to a dozen cities overnight and today with no sign of letting up.
You must leave the area now.
Demonstrating against police brutality, determined not to have their message drowned out by the killing of five police officers in Dallas. One of the movement's most visible faces arrested over the weekend in Baton Rouge.
We also know that we have to be really focused on making sure that police violence ends in our communities, and that also hasn't changed. So no, I don't think that Dallas in any way takes away from the work of the movement.
Former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani criticized the movement Sunday.
When you say Black Lives Matter, that's inherently racist.
Well, I think their
argument would... Black Lives Matter, White Lives Matter, Asian Lives Matter, Hispanic Lives Matter. That's anti-American and it's racist.
When we say Black Lives Matter, why could that be racist by suggesting that they matter as well? They matter also. We know white lives matter.
In Louisville today, an attempt to bridge the racial divide.
Rakeem Bentley.
A rally called White People for Racial Justice.
I show up today because until Black Lives Matter, all lives matter is a lie.
In Dallas, the police chief has a message for protesters.
Become a part of the solution. Serve your communities. Don't be a part of the problem. We're hiring. We're hiring. Get off that protest line and put an application in.
A country on edge, and as this image of a mother about to be arrested shows, a struggle to understand one another.
Nearly 50 people have just been charged after violent clashes with police here in Minnesota this weekend. The mother of Philando Castile, one of the black men killed, is calling for peace. She says when demonstrations become violent, it disrespects my son and his memory. Lester.
All right, Blake, thank you. On the campaign trail today, Donald Trump waded into the Dallas attack, appearing at a rally in the important swing state of Virginia with a potential VP pick by his side, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. With the Republican convention now just a week away, speculation is swirling about who the pick will be and when it will be announced. NBC's Katie Turr has more.
A country. I am the law and order candidate.
On teleprompter and on message in Virginia Beach today, Donald Trump addressing the Dallas ambush.
It's time for our hostility against our police and against all members of law enforcement to end and end immediately.
And tying recent police shootings to the cycle of poverty and violence in inner cities. The convention only a week away, and Donald Trump is trying to get serious and trying out running mates. The latest to audition, Trump's attack dog, Chris Christie.
We need once again to have a president who puts the safety and security of our citizens first.
Christie has Trump's ear, but sources close to the candidate are wary of the governor's volatile personality. And Trump's vetting team spent hours going over his Bridgegate scandal. Speculation Trump could pick retired General Mike Flynn fizzled when Trump told the Washington Post he wanted someone more political. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich ticks that box.
What's your gut telling you?
I have no idea.
And so does Indiana Governor Mike Pence, who's up next on the trail with Trump tomorrow. Seen as a good fundraiser, steady voice, and swing state bait, Pence could smooth relations in Washington, but it won't fix everything. Today, Jeb Bush telling Nicole Wallace Trump's key campaign promises will only lead to Republican heartache.
There isn't going to be a wall built, and Mexico's not going to pay for it. And there's not going to be a ban on Muslims. And people are going to be deeply frustrated, and the divides will grow in our country.
The campaign tells me that Donald Trump has narrowed his choices down to four people, and he'll announce who his running mate is by the end of this week. Lester.
Katie Turr in Virginia, thank you. Like Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton has a big VP decision to make. Earlier today, I spoke to Vice President Joe Biden, asking him what he thinks is most important in selecting a vice president. His answer, that it's someone the president trusts completely. Then I asked him if he'd like to stay on for another stint. If Hillary Clinton were to come to you and say, stay on, you're laughing. I take it that's a no.
Well, that is not my preferred route.
Would you consider
it? I have great respect for Hillary. I'm going to work like the devil for her, but I'm not looking to be vice president again. And no one has talked to me.
Part of my conversation with Vice President Biden earlier today. Tonight, wildfires are tearing across the West, fueled by an epic drought and now soaring heat. Thousands have been evacuated in Colorado alone. And in that state, they fear a seemingly endless supply of trees will feed the fire. And sadly, tonight, we've learned two firefighters have been killed in the battle. Our national correspondent, Miguel Almaguer, has the latest.
In Nederland, Colorado, it's not just the shooting flames, but this dry forest roaring firefighters. The growing blaze is ripping across a seemingly endless supply of tinder, ready to explode. Today, a fleet of helicopters joining the attack teams on the ground.
They are risking their lives for us.
Crews fear many homes will be lost in these hills. At least five burned to the ground, including firefighter Charlie Schmidtmans.
We still haven't found one of our dogs. My wife lost her wedding ring and her engagement ring. I mean, everything's gone.
The sheriff's department says the fire was started by these two male campers who spoke to a reporter just before their arrest.
Yeah, it was crazy. I never seen anything like that.
Charged with arson, authorities say they failed to put out their campfire that has now forced thousands to evacuate as the blaze closes in on homes. Meantime, in Southern California, hundreds were ordered out of their homes. The so-called sage fire hopscotching across the horizon, a disaster narrowly averted. It's been deadly for the men and women fighting fire. Vehicle carrying firefighters overturned, killing two. In Reno, Nevada, a procession for the fallen. And tonight out west, the biggest threat is far from over. In fact, crews here say it is just beginning. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
Tonight, as the presidential campaign rages on and Hillary Clinton hopes to become the first woman elected president, Britain is set to have its second woman prime minister. Her name is Theresa May, and she'll take charge when David Cameron steps aside on Wednesday. And the comparisons are already being made to a powerful Iron Lady who blazed a trail before her. NBC's Kelly Kobiea has details from London.
She's the new Iron Lady.
I am honored and humbled to have been chosen by the Conservative Party.
Theresa May, from head of counterterrorism and immigration to the top job. The shakeup, the result of Britain's vote to leave Europe. Her only opponent, Andrea Leadsom, consumed by controversy, claiming she was more qualified because she's a mom. May is not.
Genuinely, I feel being a mom means you have a very real stake in the future of our country, a tangible stake.
The comments sparked furious headlines and a Twitter storm. Vile, said one politician, and utterly wrong, another. Today, Leadsom shocked the country and quit.
And I wish Theresa May the very greatest success.
Britain elected its first female prime minister nearly 40 years ago.
I don't think there will be a woman prime minister in my lifetime.
Margaret Thatcher, famously tough, with power suits and pearls, and an American partner in Ronald Reagan. May, known for her flashy footwear, and perhaps another woman as her American counterpart. But in the UK, one woman is most important of all. On Wednesday, May will kiss the hand of the Queen, the British version of swearing in. Kelly Kobiella, NBC News, London.
There's a lot more to tell you about here tonight. It's free, it's fun, and it's already got millions addicted. The smash hit mobile game that has so many people glued to their phones, and law enforcement concerned it may lead some right into danger. Also, do you share your Netflix password? Why, that means you may be committing a federal crime. Really? We're back now with something that may explain any odd behavior you've seen on the streets recently. The smash hit mobile game app Pokemon Go has only been out for a few days, but it's already got millions following their smartphones to the most random places, and police fear possibly into harm's way. NBC's Jolene Kent has more.
Gotcha.
Pokemon fever is back, and it's everywhere.
Nostalgia hits in, like, I'm a kid, I need to play this again, it's real life.
Well, he texted me like 30 minutes ago saying, let's meet up in Hollywood to catch Pokemon.
Trying to catch them all, you know?
It's blanketing Los Angeles hotspots like Hollywood and Vine, attracting hordes of players to venture outside to Central Park in New York City to stare at their phones.
Pokemon Go is a free augmented reality game you play on your smartphone. GPS technology places animated monsters inside in the real world around you. Then you flick this ball here to catch it to move on to the next level.
Gotcha.
Police departments across the country are cautioning against driving or trespassing while playing. In New York, a warning. Don't let Officer Manello and his new partner catch you. Don't catch them all and drive. Pokemon characters are also showing up in unexpected places like the delivery room and next to police at a protest in Oakland. But not all encounters are peaceful. Outside of St. Louis, these three suspects were arrested for allegedly using Pokemon Go to lure unsuspecting players into armed robberies. In Wyoming, 19-year-old Shayla Wiggins stumbled upon a dead body face down in a river while playing the game.
I wanted to go get a water Pokemon, so I just got up and went for my little walk to go catch Pokemon.
The game warns players at the beginning to be alert at all times, but on social media, injuries are posted as badges of honor, bumps, bruises, and scrapes, proving that virtual reality can be just as dangerous as the real world, especially when you gotta catch them all. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Los Angeles.
We're back in a moment with a big star surprise announcement today, the end of an era as a new one begins. After 19 seasons in the NBA, one of the all-time greats is leaving the game. Tim Duncan, the unassuming superstar who helped lead the San Antonio Spurs to five championships, is retiring. Duncan, who spent his whole career with the Spurs, is also a 15-time All-Star, a two-time MVP, and certainly a shoe-in for the Hall of Fame. If you share passwords for Netflix or other streaming devices, it may be a federal offense. A recent court opinion over a man using his former co-worker's company login means sharing passwords, even for something like Netflix, could violate the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. But streaming services have shown a reluctance to go after anybody for password sharing. When we come back, backing the blue, random acts of kindness for police officers after the horror in Dallas. Finally, tonight, in the wake of one of the darkest moments in the history of U.S. law enforcement, we are seeing an emotional outpouring of support for the men and women in blue. NBC's Joe Fryer shows us how communities across the country and in Dallas are rallying behind their police force.
At certain angles, it's hard to even see the squad cars beneath this massive pile of appreciation outside the Dallas Police Department.
It puts a smile on our face. It puts everything in perspective.
Rosalind Walton drove 45 miles so her 6-year-old grandson, Zamarian, could see it and pay his respects.
Just because a person may say Black Lives Matter, it doesn't mean that it's anti-com. Because I believe that all lives matter.
Here in Dallas and across the country, acts of kindness keep surfacing, from the pizzas and cookies showing up unannounced at police stations to the flowers appearing on the windshields of cruisers, like speeding tickets, but way better. Two comfort dogs from Chicago are now on their way to help police in Texas, and then there are the hugs.
I appreciate you.
This viral video, which runs for 10 minutes, shows people from all walks of life embracing Dallas officers. Another viral video chronicles what happened when a Black Lives Matter protest was met with a counter-protest.
Everybody get it in. Everybody get it in.
Suddenly, the dueling groups came together peacefully and they were joined by an officer. Back outside the police station,
put it up there, there you go.
Zamarian, though a little shy, has a couple of hugs to hand out too.
You remind me of my son.
Seeds of love planted early. Joe Fryer, NBC News, Dallas.
Some great moments. That's going to do it for us on a Monday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.